Well, good morning, councillors and members of the public that are gathered here today, because we've got the ordinary council meeting of Wednesday, the 27th of August 25, held this morning at Kempton Municipal Offices at 85 Main Street, Kempton, and it's now just gone 10. In accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, I advise you that the meeting is being recorded. All persons attending at the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Brent, how are you? Nice to see you.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Karen.
Let us pray. Creator God of unchangeable love and eternal light, we thank you for your providence and that you are with us as we carry out the work we are called to do in this region. As we meet people in this community, may our hearts be filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Teach us to be patient with those who struggle, and with those who push our buttons and challenge us. In adversity, grant us grace to be patient. Grant us, God, to know that which is worth knowing, to love what is worth loving, and to hope for our region to be filled with your abundant blessing. We remember those of whom we loved and have since passed on. May they be comforted by the stories and memories they hold. We pray for our councillors in the Southern Midlands region. Grant each person the grace to face their unique challenges. Give them insight into the needs of their communities and discernment to make decisions to lead well. May they also listen to those who speak, celebrate the good, and truly see what the needs are both for today and for tomorrow. Bless, Lord, our schools, our businesses, our homes, and any of whom walk this land. May those who come to this region truly know and come to an understanding of your creativity in all you, God, have made. Grant us wisdom to care for the earth and help us to act now for the good of future generations. For we truly have been given much, and for that we are thankful. And if you're willing and able, we pray the prayer our Lord and Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Kerriford. Thank you. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, and we recognise their continuing connection to the land, water and to community. We pay respects to elders past and present. Attendance today is all councillors, and we have the GM on his way, and the AGM, or the DGM, is here with us to hold the fort. The minutes of the ordinary council meeting, which was held on the 23rd of July 25, are circulated. There's a recommendation that they be confirmed.
Move.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you, councillor Campbell. Any issues? The motion those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Special committees of council, we have those minutes from the Southern Midlands Emergency Management Committee, Baghdad Community Precinct Management Committee, and the Woodsdale Hall General Committee. And those minutes to be received.
I can move.
I'll second it, and I've got a question to ask in relation to that.
Councillor Fish and Councillor Campbell.
And the question is in relation to the Woodsdale Hall. Yep. What percentage of the hall income comes from Woodsdale Football Club, and they can take that on notice for their general meeting.
Are you the...
They do catering for functions for the Woodsdale Football Club. What percentage? Anyhow, I can sit down with the president and figure that out for you, Councillor Campbell, if you like. But they do the catering for the football club because the football club can't use their kiosks. They haven't got no facilities down there to do the catering.
Morning, General Manager.
All right, well, the deputy's given a bit of an undertaking to see what that percentage is of the proposal. I did notice in the Baghdad Community Precinct Management Committee meeting that the Councillor Blackwell has changed her name to Donegie.
Did you know? Yes, I did.
Very nice. Fresh spelling of Donegie.
It's a very good group of people.
Just increasing the height, yeah, the priority of the group.
Donegie. Anyway, with that amendment, that's Donna. Your big fella. I've got a move and a second. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And then the recommendations there. Do I have a move for the endorsement of them?
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
I'll second.
Thank you, Deputy. Just a couple of issues there in relation to that. Is there a recommendation or going to be one that we sell the fire brigade area there to the...
At some point. Tasmire are looking at a number of properties. We've got Culbrook that's located on the rec ground. We've got Paratton that's located on the rec ground. Tunnocks located on our property. Campaign is a standalone property. We have had some discussions with them on a subdivision plan to be able to put on a separate title and had valuations. That's where it's currently at. I think they're looking at certainly not paying the government valuation for the property, but that'll be a council decision to follow.
Well, we could perhaps not pay the fire service if it was fire.
If you look at Leverdale, for example, we certainly had to pay the government valuation. For that tennis court and whatever, so a bit of a precedent there.
All right, well, and what about the online places? Is there any? A lessee like...
What, a Culbrook?
No, the online one.
So the committee considered two proposals, one from Rhonda's, and then there's a lady that uses it for two small community sessions, and then there's another gentleman that's wanting to maintain some sort of a volunteer online centre. But the committee recognised there were a lot of synergies between the proposals. So we're going to have a follow-up meeting just of the groups to see if it can work for everybody.
It just crossed my mind that one of the main participants in the ideas around the Baghdad Community Precinct was keen to have the place restored as some sort of reading room.
I think the comment that was made at the meeting is certainly the community are keen to retain some sort of a meeting facility. So that's one of the priorities. And then obviously maximising the use of it and trying to cater for everybody. Rhonda's proposal, to some extent, could create a couple of part-time employment opportunities for young people. So if we can make it all work.
But they're not quite on the same page with everything they're doing. So I think they'll work at between themselves quite amicably.
All right. No other issues? Councillors want to raise? Well, I'll put the motion Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it, thank you. The super report there from Chas Waste, South Quarterly Report. Recommendation is that be received. I have a mover for that.
Yes, I move.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. Second. And second is Councillor Christie. Any issues there? No? Okay. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Very good. Council workshops. Notification, information received matter.
Move on.
Thank you, Councillor Christie. Second is Councillor Campbell. Issues there? No? I guess we could talk about some of the issues that were raised throughout the meeting. All right. All that information is recommend that we receive it. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Question time for councillors. Nothing on notice? Without notice. We have the opportunity now, pursuant to section 29 of the Local Government Act, to follow that recommendation and ask questions without notice. Councillor Christie.
Just one, Mr. Mayor. Is there any update regarding the proposed hotel development in Oaklands, please?
It's certainly, it's apparent it's on hold at the moment due to the anticipated cost of the build and the business plan supporting that. So we are to have a follow-up meeting. Discussion with the preferred proponents in the next few days. Actually, I received a follow-up text message this morning, so.
Right.
But it's certainly apparent it's on hold at the moment.
Yeah. But the project hasn't been totally shelved.
Not yet.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good. That's good. I think looking at the visitation of Oaklands, it's badly needed. And I guess the proprietors or developers are looking to lower interest rates as well, which is happening at the moment, which would help them, help their financial case. So hopefully it does one day proceed. Yeah, thank you for that.
Well, I think it's the cost of the build based on the concept designs.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately they've gone through a phase of huge surges in building costs, and I guess that's one of the issues, unfortunately. Anyway, but thank you.
Is there any way that we should be, when you talk to Ben, that we can make other developers aware of the opportunity, especially the land, the position of the land that's available? Should we be a bit more proactive?
That is the plan.
Yeah.
So they have invested a lot of money to date.
Yeah.
Business plans, design
so
plans.
So have we.
And so have we as part of the, you know, the tender and the preferred proponent agreement. So certainly if there was another interested party, that could all be negotiated as part of transferring the preferred proponent arrangement.
Anyway, I guess the general feeling is that we should be a bit more proactive if possible. But anyway, you're into it. That's good. Anything else?
No, that's right.
I don't know really what I'm talking about, but I have heard that the distillery is not operating. And if that's correct, Would we be likely to take the mill back?
I think the production's just been scaled back due to the accumulation of stock.
Yeah.
So I think certainly the restaurant and all of that's still operating.
Oh, okay. I'm pleased to hear that.
It's just the moving the stock, I think.
That's good.
The lack of wine storage, I believe.
And the lack of wine storage.
But just to take up Councillor Fish's point, if is there any provision for us to take that mill back if there are issues or...
Well, there are termination provisions within the sublease, so keep in mind that it's Crown owned, we have a lease with the Crown, and then we have a lease with Kellington Mill Distillery, so there are termination provisions in that that either party can initiate. Yeah, probably should just leave it at that at this point.
So is there a minimum operating hours for the cafe, given it's basically the main draw card into Oakland, and people are coming in now, it's not being operated, do we have the ability to take over?
Take them on notice, actually. Mm. Certainly they'd have maximum operating hours on the development approval, but I'm not sure... No, I haven't looked at the sublease for a period of time. So.
There seems to be a fair bit of marketing directed there through Tours and Taz and other places like that, even though it's a private operation.
All right.
Have you checked? So, supplemental question.
Yes, yes. Sorry. Thank you.
This is a very difficult one, and I don't know if we can do anything about it, but at the festival, my wife and I went and had a cup of coffee in High Street at 2:45. And we were sitting there, we're amongst other people that were in there, and at 3:00, six people came in wanting to buy coffee, and they were told, we're closed. Now, I just wonder if we can't ask the operators of these food outlets that on special days, could they possibly stop open to 4:00? Because those people went out in a huff, probably give us a black mark to their friends and relatives, and don't go there for a coffee in the afternoon or after 3:00. To me, on a special day like the festival and like other days that we have there, it would be nice if those businesses were operating until 4:00 at least. I can understand the cost of wages and all that, but it's a bad look when you turn six people away at 3:00 in the afternoon wanting coffee and cakes.
So you have to be prepared to subsidise them for that. You can't really ask them to stay open then. It's the same when you go in there on a Sunday.
Well, they can say no, but I think they should. It should be maybe something we could ask the festival committee as part of their communication with the business operators.
Yeah.
Just provide that as feedback and for consideration, you couldn't enforce it by any means.
It's a shame on a Sunday afternoon if you try and get some auction open because the pub doesn't serve open kitchen on Sunday.
Oh, no, it's difficult.
So there's several of the cafes do always have closing times, whether they're 2 or 3, and they're always set at that.
Really?
But there is one cafe that always stays open till 4 or after.
Right.
So,
the
hotel is
there.
Mm-hmm. On the Kenny
stays open,
doesn't
he? I don't know what
time
it is.
Right. Right.
But, yeah.
Maybe
he's got a comment, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you want to comment there?
Yeah. Certainly, council on the sea would extend through aid the very positive effects in Oakland, and it's really up to the business operators to maximise all those opportunities. Yes, it's a little bit outside of their sphere of influence to push it, I think, but we can go on one up the street, talk to operators and about any thoughts that they may have or any impediments. Certainly, one of the impediments could be the Telstra disconnect. That fell out of game over a few years, and also I think during the football it fell out too, so I think there's a degree of frustration with business owners with that lack of service from Telstra. We're trying to engage with property owners, shop owners, by giving them aprons and t-shirts and bonds that hopefully leads to the whole thing. But sometimes there are personal reasons why it's that but we're happy to go and do some feedback up the street and if there's any way that we can assist them to be open longer, we'll certainly encourage them to do it.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Dan, do you finish speaking?
Yeah, I think
you
should.
Cat Campbell.
I'll take over where Don left off. Aprons Distillery is closed. Is it for maintenance and for how long? And when will the distillery restart? And when it does restart, will they reduce their noise that they've been making, as they have done in the past, annoying the neighbours? And the buffers that are at the upper side of the distillery are not very good noise reflectors. So what can be done about it?
Well, I think the issues of whether they're operating or not aren't really matters that the council can deal with, Councillor Campbell. But the issue of noise, I'm not sure what the state of play is with the level of noise in the complaints. Is that still in play, the complaints?
Could I make a comment, Mr. Mayor? Well, we did go through quite an extensive process when the neighbours did raise particular issues with council. There was a long and exhausting process. I think the piece of equipment that was used was changed at great cost, and there were other barriers that were installed there. And to my understanding, the issue was rectified in accordance with the requirements under this special.
The understanding I have is that the equipment that was put in there to deflect the noise is only causing it to reverberate and is causing more of a problem.
I can report here to Councillor Campbell. I think that ongoing communication with the members who are joining the property, Mr. Stevenson's, Council has involved the NPA to assist with noise monitoring and noise monitoring. To determine a nuisance is quite challenging. The conditions on the DA allow for a 24-hour, 7-day work operation. But certainly, the attenuation distance between the residents, the joints, and the distillery is still under the TPS. The critical meet code on the current planning scheme was approved under the interim planning scheme. And certainly, we're working with the EPA to try and look at noise mitigation. With respect to the operators, they could be a bit more enabling insofar as how they conduct their business, particularly in relation to location of recycling bins, adjacent to the we've been concerned about heavy vehicle movements. The applicants provided a noise report last year, which we had some concerns about, hence why we've involved the EPA. But it's ongoing, unfortunately. But certainly, we react to complaints from the joint properties.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Yes. Colebrook, the old shop veranda, has got some safety mesh around it. When will they be doing their building work on that veranda?
Who's they?
The people who own it.
Been
take that one on notice. Yeah, they have been given notice that there's a safety issue there, so it's been buried up and timing's in their hands.
Then
subject to whatever the notice might specify.
Moving on to Captain John Jones rang me and sounds like he's having a dispute over painting with the council.
I think he rang everyone, Bob.
Yeah.
He rang everyone.
That'll be the subject of another council agenda item next month.
Well, I'll move on to the next one then. Will there be another bullet session?
What did I miss?
Will there be another bullet festival?
Will there be another one?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I've had a lot of people saying that was the last one.
No, it's all.
Yeah, well, are you mixing in the wrong company there, Bob?
Then, the last one is in relation to the Pontville Detention Centre. When are we likely to see that come to the council?
Yeah,
very much so.
Now, it's there now.
I can provide an answer there. Council Campbell, last Friday, the applicant, the Department of Corrections, young persons, they lodged their council formally. So it's with the council at the moment. We received the issue invoice on Monday for the fee payment. We will work through the application to determine its thoroughness and whether we need further information. We're going to discuss that with Brighton Council, because that's our DA lodge for them for the access to Whitehall Greens Road. They've expressed some concerns in relation to the nature of the activity. We've taken those on board. We'll provide a thorough assessment. We'll likely see further information in relation to a number of things, particularly in relation to overland flooding, possibly stormwater, wastewater, as well as maybe even odour management or odour modelling in relation to the adjoining installation on the eastern side of the highway. So the DA's and council formally look over 42-day time frame in which to provide a determination, be notified in due course. We expect representations from Brighton Council and others as well. So,
And we may say discretionary.
Yep.
Just how far does discretionary go?
Well, the discretionary is with council. We can approve with or without conditions, or refuse subject to notification and determination provisions of the Act. So the discretion is we can approve or refuse it. They've got to meet the codes, and looking at the response yesterday from the ERA planning, some information they've provided, in my opinion, is a bit light on. So again, we'll look at this thoroughly and more than likely seek further information.
I know there's some angry people down that way.
Well, with respect to the department, they've been involved extensively with those landowners for the last 18 months. It's no surprise. It's certainly we've got a chance now to manage it. It's council process. And the applicants made that very clear by their own website and through communications issued last Friday. It's council to manage. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cameron, next bill.
It's my line.
Nothing from
that,
thank you.
Thank you.
Three things. The meeting with TAS Irrigation has been going on for some time now. I think now that there's finally a new minister in place, that we should write to them in the form of capacity as council, expressing our support for the extension, particularly given the economic benefit it's likely to bring as a result of that, with any other projects. The relatively cheap cost that will actually deliver that sort of economic growth to that region. Now that dust has settled, I think we should not let the momentum die. You know, you were at the last meeting, Mr. Mayor, albeit late at night, so it'd be good to get an update from your perspective as to how that went as well.
Well, I couldn't say that there was momentum. The mood generally around Auckland, there was the farmers there as well, was that it's just not economically doable on any front.
Well, I think that's where we need to
just one of the
politicians to step in and frame the shortfall, because there is significant economic benefit, albeit not from a TAS irrigation standpoint. You know, they have their, you know, infrastructure costs, but you know, the wider economy that will degenerate, the wider economic benefit because of people being able to irrigate, employ people, grow more and create more jobs and things like that, is probably where it becomes less of a Tas irrigation focus and more of a certainly local and state government focus. So I think that's where we need to start to elevate.
I think the difficulty about it is, like, we can see these sorts of things that you're raising, but the people who are implementing it are the farmers and landowners in the district, and they don't want to put their hands in their pockets when they can't see a return. So, but
well, our job as council is to be more strategic and rather than relying on individual landowners, and that's to create economic opportunity and benefit via projects to the wider community. And so Tas Irrigation got their, you know, they got to their point, and I think the GAP's only got $4 million at this stage to fund it to the dam originally planned. So we're not talking big money yet, but the conservative estimation.
I think that's the issue. You see, so there's a long-term cost as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the capital cost is one thing, the running costs and the storage costs. Not going to change.
No, I get all that, and that's where
I'm not going to step in,
and that's where I think we need to drive this conversation a bit from a more government element rather than from a farmer versus Tas Irrigation point of view. Tas Irrigation,
we can certainly get right to the minister now that we have one.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I know that Barry Curtin is also planning to conduct another landowner meeting at Culbrook with the intention of inviting the relevant state ministers as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I haven't seen a date on that, but.
Well, I think where we're tonight in getting the ministers along and not certainly going to make Barry's job a lot easier.
I think Barry's very good at it. I will certainly be there for sure. Mm-hmm. Have a presence for him.
But, you know, it's about a $10 million annual opportunity to the region, so it's not small, and there's nothing else that's going to generate that sort of economic momentum, planned or otherwise.
I think the mood of the meeting, I must say, from the three or four times we were there, and Barry too to some extent, was that we should shift our focus to the scheme that's in planning that brings water the other way.
Well, whatever the way it is to get there, but I think, you know, let's keep that momentum going whilst the conversation's really.
Because that would
cheaper water.
Yeah, it's more manageable for the farmers. So basically they see that as a better process for the development of the
farm. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind which way it goes. No. It's a little conflicted is to my benefit, but at the same
time. No, in the woods, and that's the thing. I'm not too sure how much benefit there would be.
Well, I'd
still be paying the same as everybody else.
Well, I'd still like to take water out of it and don't have that.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, I still have to pay, but you know, I also have to, you know, declare that I do get something out of it. But equally, you know, for over a 20-year horizon, you're talking potentially $200 million of, you know, stimulus in that area, which, as we all are aware, there's not a lot of, you know, opportunity to create that sort of opportunity.
No. Well, I'll follow that one through and do our best for Barry and maintain the momentum such as it is.
The other thing that I wanted to know is just we hear back from Statesford.
No, and I did follow that up and say, you know, just alerted and we're waiting on that list.
Yes.
And she drafted and sent it to her colleagues. But no, the answer is no. I must follow that up again.
Yeah, that's important. And then just lastly, there's a lot of people quite concerned about the mini crime wave that's occurring in Campania and around at the moment. A lot of their new builds are having been broken into, the sort of white goods are being stolen, like dishwashers and stoves and stuff, and a lot of cars are being broken into, particularly around that sort of around the pub and around that sort of area. So is there anything that, you know, we can do to, you know, actively deter, whether sign is saying, you know, smile, you're on camera, even if there isn't one, but at least it'll get people thinking twice, just some more, you know, tacit and subtle things to try and deter these people from.
An officer play at home station at Richmond Place?
Yes. I think the trouble is they are the only one on in the service in quite a large area, so once it's finished patrol.
Yeah.
Once the patrol's been by, they know it's not coming back for, you know, the rest of the weekend, so I think. So if anything we can do to try and create the discussion is.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but obviously the.
Is there a neighbourhood watch or
anything? Yeah, that was my question. Is there a neighbourhood watch?
Oh,
it
used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be, yeah.
It's sad that there's a problem
maybe. We'll have a discussion with the surreal.
Yeah, see if we can come up with it. Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Miller. Deputy.
I didn't really have anything, but I'd just like to say, AB, yes, the Telstra was a problem at the grand final on Saturday. Just, I was on the gate for probably 2.5 hours, so yes, there were 1,600 people came through. So just as it got really busy, a lot of people were paying by card and the machine just went down. So,
Yeah.
I think everyone was on sport bet probably at that time.
See, that's the Colombian. Started up $1.04, then I think you could have got about $2 or $3, or $2 off halfway through the game.
That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. It's disappointing because everyone's talked to Telstra before and to have that happen again.
Well, we've been promised that it's fixed and it's not.
Yeah. And so that would have affected, so it affected the gates, it would have affected the kiosk, the bar, the school were doing a barbecue and they had a machine as well, so it would have affected that as well, so, yeah.
Not good enough.
All right, well, we can thank you.
Yes, that's all for me, thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes. One other item.
I'd like to direct them to...
Thank you,
Councillor Fish. I'd like to direct John Jones. I feel him not listening.
Oh, sorry,
I would like you to send him a note that we can discuss it or whatever, or go to the motion to discuss it.
Which one, sorry?
A note to John Jones.
I think Brad Williams has said.
I'd just like to see some connection with it. Yeah.
Which is good.
So Brad will report to the next meeting. Do you want to provide a bit of background there?
Just as a bit of background, in our heritage collection we hold an artwork which was, in my view, donated to council by a third party in 2007. Mr. Jones was involved in the his procurement of that. He's now asked for a return on it, saying it's his own copy. I hold a contrary view to that. In my discussions with Mr. Jones, we've not been able to reach any sort of resolution, so I've offered to bring it to the next council meeting, where I'll come on a cover report. Obviously, Mr. Jones has had the view to lobby council in the background and present an alternative view.
John is aware that the council will
make. Yeah, I think you have a bit of an idea as anyone of what's going on.
Yeah.
It sounds like a bit vague to me, but yes.
Rachel, I'm in your camp, but you're a good picture. Christy's in the same way.
Yeah.
All right.
There was one item that I...
Oh, yes,
down at Colebrook, when it goes from daylight to dusk to night, there are lads down there, mainly three, four lads, riding bikes at night time in the dark, no lights, playing chicken with the traffic going through there. The locals have had words with those lads, and some of the lingo that was used is not what you'd put in front of a lady. Issues got heated a few times, and the question is, how can we get those lads to go up to the recreation ground and play around on their bikes, and how can we get those lads to put lights on their bikes? Is it the case of, do we have to get more police patrols through that area and possibly down to Campania at that time of the day?
Well, we'll make a note of that when we have a discussion with the police over in Richmond District.
Yeah.
Well, they're the experts in that area.
Wendy wants to say something, Mr. Mayor.
No, Luke.
Wendy, because he wants to say something.
I've had numerous discussions with open police in relation to
those others, and they are working
through the process. But also, open police do not go to Campania. So, we may get them to hold an evening, but open
police don't disturb Campania.
Alright. And, I'll just add one comment. Assuming that
they're motorbikes. No, they're pushbikes. Pushbikes, aren't they? One of them is saying, electric bikes.
Because there isn't, if they happen to be motorbikes,
then what's the noise?
Yeah.
One got to about 4 inches from my car. Sounds like I was coming into the shop.
Sounds like it might have resolved itself soon enough.
Okay. I've got a couple of quick questions myself, if that's all right. I had a representation from Kempton Lake Panel asking whether or not we could perhaps contact State Growth or someone to get some fog warning kind of lights at the
Southern
Junction of the road.
Totally agree.
It's been pretty devastating there for people.
I don't think the school bus driver drive down there some morning.
Mm. You just take your life, it's just a punt, isn't it?
Yeah, wind down the windows and plant it.
So maybe we could just see whether or not that could be done. That would be, I think, help to everybody. The other day I saw a person parking in the bus, car park just opposite us, and reversed back, fairly sharply, but reversed back, and went straight into the tree. Crunch. Just a lot of damage to the tree is fine. But it just struck me that it might be, you'd have to think about it, but it might be a place for a little bus shelter there in front of a tree. I'm going to say in front of it on the other part of it. So,
The old street, I think we're probably bus sheltered out. But the old design, and it may be, the old streetscape plan has cars going in and then parking diagonal. So I think a lot of the issue arises cars drive in, straight in, and they forget what's behind them. If through line marking or whatever, they were forced to park on a sideways angle.
Yeah.
That would somehow remove the risk.
Was there another tree there
There was.
One week.
I was going to say one week, because I know cleaned one up and it was that tree that's gone. Thank you.
But in terms of the bus stop too, there is no side bus stop in the town. So where the buses stop is just a guesswork for anybody who doesn't live here. Or I think there will be a sign at the very least to where it stops. And there was some kind of shelter there in front of that tree, whatever. It might stop that. The other issue I wanted to raise was planning one, I wasn't too sure what the relationship was with the council and what appears to be a wind tester on top of the, well, just downhill, you know. I don't want to sound like we'll be accused of the same thing as Councillor Campbell, but people tell me that there are plans to put a whole range of wind turbines on the top of the whole area, and that's what the wind tester up there is doing. I just wondered if there's been any connections with Council about that.
I can provide a response to this.
Thank you.
So, thanks for the heads up too in relation to this. I don't have any time to prepare an answer, but certainly Council last year approved a development for a meteorological mast. A meteorological, like a
mast. With
a propeller. On a property at 140 Lower Marshes Road, Jericho, also known as Rubber Banks. The applicant was Goldwind Australia Proprietary Limited, a mainland consortium. The DA was lodged on the 19th of April 2024. The purpose of the mast is to measure climatic conditions, so primarily wind, which is a precursor to potentially a wind farm, possibly. The mast dimensions are 103 metres in height, and the application showed a location plan. The mast is 3.8 k southwest of Jericho and 20 k east of Bothwell.
What's the one I noticed is the one about the moment, which is,
yeah,
I guess,
downhill.
Same one. Yeah, it's south of there. Oh, I reckon it'd be more than 3 k's from Jericho.
Where's the crow flies?
And that is the famous.
You mean driving up the downhill, driving up to Bothwell?
It's south of that.
Right. Okay.
It's south of that. It's.
It says here the application did mention that access will be maintained by the Midlands Highway and then by a series of existing internal farm tracks.
Yeah.
It's publicly advertised on the 23rd and 17th of May 2024. Memorandums were received and it was approved by GAC at a meeting on the 21st of May 2024, subject to conditions. Look established, no reps. It's a precursor to potentially the wind farm development, which they're generally in situ for, you know, 3 to 5 years, I understand. So,
If there is a wind farm, whereabouts are they looking on that ridge?
The ridge would be, and the mast would determine, I guess, wind velocity and cadence as well, and whether the site's appropriate for wind farm.
And that requires a planning permission.
The wind farm, most certainly.
Yeah, most certainly.
And depending on scale, there's not going to be levels of activity. We've had a few islands in the Highlands, St. Patrick's Plains being the most recent one.
Yeah.
There's level two.
I don't think it's the same one. I don't even know where the other one is. If it's located 3 k's from Jericho, on the other
place. Southwest, 3.8 k's southwest. I'll download the location
of the park.
Yeah.
Must be up there.
If you access it off the Midland Highway through a series of internal roads, it'd be Hutton Park.
Yeah.
And then this Muddy Plains Road.
Yeah.
This one is due west from the last house in the Milton Mowbray Strait.
Different tower then, or a different...
Different.
It could be a similar house installation, possibly.
Just a big door. Yeah.
Skinny, but big. Which is a favourite one, I think. Okay, well, that's going to be something for us to focus on in the future. I won't ask any other questions. Thank you very much. All right. Concludes public questions. Over to public questions. Yes.
We're 20 minutes late.
We are. We might as well do it, I think, because they're here. They're here.
They are here. I'm running a story in the next edition about the Youth Justice Facility DA. And the material supplied by them, and the last sentence says that the DA will be available on the council website for public consultation. Just give me an idea of when that might be, if you know. I wasn't sure after Grant's comments.
We have a timeline in which to determine the application, so if we need more information, we've got 25 days
to do that first.
So we'll do that. Yep. Once it's been formally about application, we notify, we can upload those documents to the portal, but we might require additional information, which should form part of the public information.
Yeah, so it won't be in time for me to start with that. Because I've got time. Okay, that's all.
I'm aware that the plans are currently available on the department's website as well. Okay. So,
Okay. That's all.
Is it?
Thank you. Yes.
Just briefly, we're going to do a volunteer.
Yep, we'll just go back and
declarations. We'll just return to item 8, which is the declarations of pecuniary interest. Councillor Little Shire requested to advise of a pecuniary interest they may have in respect to any matter on the agenda. Are there any?
No.
No, thank you. And supplementary items to the agenda, item 9. Were there any supplementary items?
There is one supplementary item. It's the deed of agreement, or the agreement relating to the electric vehicle charging, reassigning the agreement to NRMA or whatever they are.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so deed of agreement re-EV charger is added to the supplementary item to the agenda. Have a move.
Move.
Yep, move. Councillor Pisty, seconded.
I'll second.
Deputy, those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. So that item is now added to the agenda.
I'll move it. We go to morning.
Thank you very much. And we have a seconder there. Second.
Who did you decide? Who did you decide was second?
Councillor MacDonald. Are those in favour? Are those against? The ayes have it. We'll have a break. They like press the stop. Alright, councillors, we best resume. A motion to that effect moved by Deputy, seconded by Councillor Campbell, that we resume our ordinary council meeting. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, councillors. We're up to item, well, we haven't got a council acting as a planning authority, thank you.
11.
We've got to go back. No motions, of which we have received notice of. No, nothing on 12. The municipal seal. There's a issues there where the seal has been applied, and I see my name is on the top of the list. That's not really a conflict of interest. That's where my wife and I gave the land to the council to put the park on. But other than that, that's where the seal has been used. That information be received. I have a move.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Deputy, and seconded Councillor Pisty. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. That concludes the session of council acting as a planning authority. Then in relation to the reports, we've got the Manager of Infrastructure and Works with us, Mr. Richardson. His report is here, and it's got a whole new look about it, hasn't it? With a little...
It's got a pretty picture.
Picture of a waste transfer truck. We were just having a discussion about your participation on the Southern Council's collective waste transfer body. I noticed their minutes recently, and I just noticed that there was a grant achieved for the, on behalf of the 12 councils to build a facility down at Kingbrook, and I wonder whether or not or how that's going to work, or perhaps the opportunities for our council. to, say, build in the future a waste transfer station central in our area, and whether or not, you know, there's some likelihood that that would be a funding source where they could build that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So my understanding of that program, that grant program, it's use of the body. There's been a infrastructure plan completed for the southern region, Tasmania, for waste management overall. So each council area had to identify what their priorities were. And Southern Midlands, I have certainly raised the concept of needing significant investment in a waste transfer station type facility or facilities. And that's going through the motion at the moment, but TasWaste South has engaged consultants to prepare this infrastructure plan, and we'll see what comes of it.
And I assume we'd be given an opportunity to put input into that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Put a draft, I guess, report. Yep. And that's prepared by the consultants, and that'll certainly be discussed with council at a workshop. I, to be honest, I don't hold much hope that in the we will get direct funding out of it. I mean, Tim, you attended the last month. Was there any more discussion about the infrastructure plan?
Oh, I mean that it's progressing. And there's a little bit of discussion around what the scope of the consultancy included. But it's very much early days, I think, but with the aim of wrapping it up fairly quickly.
Yes, I think one of the key contributions to it, where there was some dollars out of that funding, was for the MRF, so the material sorting facility for recyclables, or Cleanaway. Which all Southern Councils obviously take the recycling there. And they had some major upgrades, and they was a beneficiary of that. Which you could argue indirectly benefits the councils as well.
All right, well, the recommendation is that the works report be received if basic noted. The report's before. Did you want to speak to it?
No, just I'm pretty excited. This morning we just took delivery just down the road at the Tipton work step. It doesn't take much excitement out of the place, but a nice shiny brand new 10-yard truck.
So coming through the Brighton bypass, and that looks very much like one of ours.
That's ours on the way up this morning, yes. So that's good. We've got
white and green.
I can say we have one very happy employer.
Yeah, very good. Ford Bank.
Yeah, they're a Honda gearbox. UD truck, very nice.
That's
the Webster's who said it, right? Yeah. Indeed. So now we'll basically send the X1 to auction, and there's a whole heap of rules that's changed around trucks. There's this new specification out, and so the ones pretty July this year are very sought after because of these new specifications relating to the new trucks.
Right.
And I've talked to when you're running gravel and things like that, so a truck, you put your tray up to run the gravel out, you can't do more than 20 kilometres an hour, you can't be on a certain more than 7 degrees and things like that, whereas the old trucks you can do 60 kilometres an hour and run gravel, but you can't do all that anymore. So the trucks that we've got are going to be well sought after.
Yeah.
By contractors. So. Anyway, that's exciting for me. It's probably boring as much. So we've got a bit starting to kick off and happening around the place. Tunbridge is getting some new curb finally up there as we speak. That'll be poured tomorrow. The Chauncey Vale toilet is basically complete. There's just a final little bit of plumbing work there to finish it off. Electronic scoreboard at Campania Oval is up and working and operating. The Campania extension to the front rooms has commenced over there. That will take probably the best of 3 months to complete the works there. It's pretty exciting sort of an upgrade. It's around $1 million worth. Moofood, I'll give you a bit of an update on the Moofood walkway. I finally got a resolution to the issues I've been having with Tas Water, and that's been resolved, and I've agreed to come to the table, so now I can start works there at Burnett Street in Corky.
Yeah.
It's all about the water main there and extending the private water supplies and moving meters and so on. But only late last week, yes, they've agreed to the proposition that was put to them to get that underway. So I think not next week, the week after, I'm planning on digging dirt.
Well, you think of putting a few trees on my end with it as we get up to the other
on the walkway?
Yeah.
The difficulty is going to be from Burnett Street down to the turning area is the width. We haven't got a lot of width there.
Yeah. Past there,
beyond that.
Yeah.
So if you can look at it, yes.
Good view.
Yep.
Any questions of
May the report be received.
Thank you very much. Christy, second of you?
Yes, I second.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. Just in relation to the Kempton Rec Ground, I'm not sure where we're at about this, but the area from the porch or whatever you would call it, in front of the grandstand there, on the northern side of the grandstand, up to the playground area where it currently is, that little stretch of land there, which we were thinking of working some way to include that either in our upgrade or is there any plans for that?
Yes, that's, I think that area is associated with the laying out a new playground.
Yeah.
Playground. So following our discussion at the last meeting, so Helen and Maria have dragged out all their old processes around how they consulted with the kids at the open school and how they presented the options for play equipment and how the kids went around. So that, in answer to your question, the first thing is determine what play equipment the kids want, and then position that, and then work out how the remainder of the precinct or that area is then developed around it.
And the other area that's being built now, that includes pit nets as well?
Yes.
Yeah, and with nets,
yes.
It's all,
yes.
I don't know if people are interested in using that.
Yes, so practice nets and the pickleball / basketball court.
It's coming.
Yes, on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And surface finish can't be on the concrete utilities, so we probably go like September,
whatever,
to do with the weather. Yeah.
Well, I've got a few questions. I had a person contact me, David, in relation to two big gum trees on the gravel section of Stainer Road. He went along that road 3 days later. Trees are gone. He says, gee, that was quick. What happened to the trees? I says, you tell me. But he said to me, there are two stumps left there. Have those stumps been taken out?
Nah, not yet.
And when are they likely to be taken out?
Oh, I'll have to have a look at it. I'm not sure. Yes, we had some tree removals, some major trees removed there along that section of road. Been on the cards for many years, and I can check out the stumps, but I know the ones that were a real, what I've been to a safety problem, were removed as part of that process, so I'll have to check it out.
And Campania toilet, that been fixed?
Yes.
And the your friends up at Constantly Road, not happy with your grade of road?
That's okay. He might be happy with it.
Then 8 and 10 Glenelg Street, I was informed that there was a water issue where the water was coming onto the corner block of Glenelg Street and Long Yates. That been sorted?
Don't know anything about it, sounds like a Tas water issue. Is that what you're referring to, or is it stormwater?
I'm led to believe it could be coming from the water depot across the road, but I'm not sure.
I haven't heard of that before. So it seems like a Tas water issue.
Fair enough, that's my look.
All right. Yes, Councillor Fish.
I don't know whether it's a problem or not, but that pump stays above Andrew's premise. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
There's water continually running into the gutter. I should suggest that next time you're out there, you have a look at whether it's they're putting the cotton road or what's going on. It's just a like half a tap turned on, about that amount of water running right down to the corner.
Yeah.
You just make your mind up what when you see it, whether it's something he's doing or not.
There's no problem with all this. All right, well, yes?
Sorry. I've already preempted Dave on this one, and I know there won't be any money in the budget. But on the 19th of July, I think we all remember it was an absolute shocking Saturday, wind blowing, rain, whatever. Along Inglewood Road, from the tip end to the train line, there were at least 4 huge branches came down, and since then there's another one that's come down, gone across the road, gone across the neighbour, gone across the landowner's fence and whatever. I really do think that some of those trees need looking at. They're large gum trees as well. There is one that's dying near the Lily's Leaf shearing shed. To whether we can earmark them maybe for some work next year in the budget, but the size of a couple of those branches that came down, if that landed on a car, we would be having a court case, I'm sure.
Yeah,
no problem at all. Councillor Dudgeon, I'll have our arborist on take an assessment of the trees and come back to me with costings, etc. And if we can fit it within the budget, we'll certainly endeavour to do that.
Mm. You're on the budget this year, don't you?
Yes, we're noticing that.
It is only month one.
David, when a branch does come down or a side of a tree falls out, who's responsible for removing it? Can you just shove it on the side of the road and leave it there, or do you have to take it away?
Oh, look, generally, I'm not exact though as you're referring to. I was actually on the call and I took a call from a lady that said, informed me that there was a tree across the road. Then she rang me back 10 minutes later after I organised the troops to go and deal with it. Said, don't worry about it, it's a very generous farmer. Let's cut the tree off the road. To answer your question, Councillor Campbell, yes, it's our responsibility to remove it. But as I said, 90% of the time we find that by the time we get there, someone has done the good deed.
That's right.
And come along with a chainsaw or whatever and push it off the side of the road, got the road open. And then, as long as it's safe, we'll go back and clean it up as soon as we can.
All right. Thanks very much for that. So we've got a move on a second with that report.
Can I just add one more thing, Mr. Mayor? Just that last bit was a pretty good thing there relating to the curbside pickup service.
Yeah.
So obviously Thorpe contracting ceases with Southern Midlands their contract this week, at the end of this week. And Veolia will start next week on the pickup. So we are doing the social media things and all that sort of stuff, trying to get it out there. Because we anticipate, so does Veolia, there's going to be some issues in the first week or fortnight with the pickups. And I'm sure they're going to come back to us with a lot of issues that they find as well, the contractor. So I just encourage, all our ratepayers to be a little bit patient through that process while we transition to a new contractor.
Isn't that something we can post on to local Facebook pages, to connect with the problem service as well?
Yeah, well, that's not my domain. That's certainly up to Nick, who is with basically what's in that report there will be going out.
I'm happy to sort of type it up and put it in the Elders Corporate Service, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We should share it with everyone then.
If there's any issues or, there's going to be misbins, I anticipate things like that. However, given the technology that Veolia has, and what they're equipped with, which myself and general manager's getting a tour of the facilities and their gear and everything on Friday. It might be a little bit of initial disruption, but I'm sure going forward it's going to be very, very, very good.
What concerns me is that they are only, and I assume they'll strictly only do it, pick up red and yellow lidded bins.
That's correct.
But there are some of Midland's bins out there with green lids.
Yeah, so
and
when we transfer to the 240 litres, so each household pays an annual charge that's entitled to one of each, a red lid. So those that went and bought the second-hand bins for $15 or $20, they are not to be put out for the curbside collection. Now, Veolia will probably pick it up in the first week, but then that's it. Because on the flip side, we're getting complaints, how come Joe Blow's got four bins out and is he paying twice the rates?
Yeah.
And that's fine if he is. So,
I know
Thorpe has provided a very good service and picked it up, but it's not suitable to maintain that.
I can see what you're saying. If there are a lot of Bunnings ones and Nutrien ones and from other municipalities, they're everywhere.
So that will be identified through this process. So their camera technology, they're given logging to their system, and I think how it works is they will just be sending me, after they've done a round of a list, saying here on this date, at this time, this is the bin that was on Southern Midlands Council bin. So it would be up to me to go and speak to the residents or give them a notice saying this won't be picked up anymore. And so it's going to create a lot of work for us in-house. However, it's about time it needs to be tidied up, because bearing in mind it costs over $500 a tonne to dispose of the waste. So, it's hurting all ratepayers, not just here.
There seems to be quite a few random people turning up to the tips as well. New members of the community for that specific half an hour takes them like a week. So maybe we need to check some ideas for unknowns there as well.
We can absolutely, and we do do that. The problem is when they pick their friends up that live in the municipality, we can't stop it. They say it's my waste. This is why we need to totally change the way we think about
register the car registration, so only this car is unable to drop off rubbish.
Very difficult to police that, because most families have two or three cars.
Okay. Then they can register two or three cars. I don't know. It's not ideal, is it?
No.
Do you want to put staff in danger of being...
There's all those considerations.
So just dump it on the side of the road if they don't.
There was a lot of rubbish dumped at a couple of prostitutes.
There was, yes.
Was that just so amazing?
Yes.
So it's amazing.
Interesting, myself and Grant attended an online session with the EPA last week relating to illegal littering. And believe it or not, the EPA is ramping up their enforcement, and same thing, going back to technology. What they have now is getting very good. on how I can catch purple littering, and they've been dishing out significant fines. And they had some pretty amazing footage, didn't they, Grant, that they showed us with their hot spots where they have cameras and things like that, and significant fines that they're going to give them. So I've heard it for many years about, council charges too much, people just litter who I can until they get the first fine.
Yeah.
Because it hurts. I know there's significant what they're charging. So even down, commercial businesses that are the EPA has been catching, where it's for the same reason, the commercial business waste, and this is shop owners and stuff, have been getting some nice fines of late. And it's all to do with their technology and how they're doing. They're using drones, they're using all sorts of things. And they're putting on more offices. I see there's an advertisement through NRE or whatever they're called now for two or three more litter offices across the state. So, and that's what they're solely dedicated to do, is get out there and try and solve this littering issue.
It's not very handy and helpful, and leave their name on documents. And
they do it.
They don't.
They do it.
Yeah,
they
do it. They're very helpful people.
Anyway, I have a list of full list of contacts now for anything, and I just thought I'd throw that out there. But I hear it all the time, they're probably just jumping the size of rock
to
do it. So, the tyre issues, we've seen an increase in tyres being dumped around the place, but they are a difficult one to enforce. And it's the same thing because of the cost of disposable tyres. I understand that, but we only pass on what it costs us.
I've got a football stadium to build now, so maybe that's why the EPA is giving. I'll get a pile of tyres that I've dumped on my place that I need to pass on to at some stage.
It depends on the size on them, so I think the standard car tyre is about $4, and then it goes back the tyres up.
But in terms of the
actual... Is it money backing off the highway?
Well, whoever, they get dumped over the side of
the farmer's side,
But we've got a few extra revenue left in, Charlie, to give away.
Sorry?
Have we got the store of red and yellow bidded bins?
Yes.
Yeah, good. We can.
We have.
Some of those people who are putting out bins that are from Bunnings or old green top ones, they need to.
So we have communal points for recycling when they've got the bigger dumpster type stuff. So maybe that could be one way.
We used to, and now they're absolute nightmare to manage. I used to get contaminated material stuff because they're all uncontrolled, unsupervised. We used to have one at Broadmarsh, and close that down.
Tunnock Township too, by the way, is now on the collection service starting in 2-3 weeks time. They will have their first collection as well.
Are their rate notices gone out yet?
Well, the rates, but they'll also give a supplementary just for the prorated waste.
We've got a mover and a seconder. Unless there's any further questions, I'll put the motion that the infrastructure and work report be received and the information noted. Okay, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Aye.
Thanks, David.
Heritage Project Program Report, Brad Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. There's a set of questions from the report, and then I've got a proposed policy tabling as well. Or any other questions?
Any questions, councillors?
I was just going to make a comment about the two events that you and I attended, Mr. Mayor.
were very well attended and excellent pieces of artwork and etc, etc, etc.
Yeah, the...
The hidden treasures and
yes.
The launch of the Southern Midlands Open House program.
So we've got the trough provisionally registered.
Yes.
Does that mean it can be moved now? Or
as of last Wednesday, they've got it provisionally registered subject to the final titles being issued. The final Council's Field title was launched on the 24th of July. Landsiders had 15 working days to finalise it, so they're overdue now. So as soon as that title comes through, that title reference gets added to the Heritage Register and it's ticked off.
Good.
Day
13, is it? Yeah, well, it's obviously going to be a triumph of engineering to make sure it gets there without breaking.
You've got a new truck, you'll be fine.
Oh, we're going to new truck. Okay. It won't go to the do I have a mover that that report be received?
If that's
noted. Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconded.
Okay.
Deputy? No further issues? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And now you've got a proposed policy about metal detecting on council sites.
I'll move that.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconder there?
I'll second.
Thanks, Councillor Blackwell.
Well, we, just a minute. We need to have a position on the matter.
Yep. Well, the information received, the notice of the recommendation, and that Council review the draft policy and consider for formal adoption at the September meeting. So the review of the policy is now going to be undertaken for, and we've got a month to give further review to it.
Right.
Are there issues that you want to expand on, Brad?
Look, I think they're all in the report and in the policy. It's fairly simple and straightforward, but do you have any questions or amendments?
Is what they find ours, or
technically, yeah.
And what about disturbing Aboriginal artifacts if they see them?
Exactly. This is why we need a policy, so that we can
not. Yeah, not that I suppose they'd be metal, but.
How prolific are these people?
How prolific, how many of them are
there? Well, that we know of, we get a few a year that we catch, and we get a few requests where people actually do have a courtesy to ask. We did get a bit of a spike with the media reports around the jail, and that's suddenly being exposed.
Mm.
What we don't know of, and we don't hear about, is the other thing. So, I mean, it's not just heritage sites. I've had somebody from Parada call me a while back, but somebody was dean out there on the oval, pulled up a lady over here one day who was digging up the park and insisted she had a prospecting license, so she was allowed to do it. And just leaving dirty breakdowns everywhere.
The area where the old racecourse grandstand and opens used to be is really going to be popular too, because there's a thought that perhaps people might have dropped their panties or whatever at the races.
Yeah, and look, from my point of view, just needing some sort of council policy background where any conflicts I can just say will be council policy. Hopefully, be done with it.
Okay. Did you have anything specific you wanted to raise? Okay, well, we've got the policy, councillors. If there's any issues that you want to raise in between meetings, obviously the usual process is you contact the Brad, that'd be fine, wouldn't it? Otherwise, the matter will be before the council meeting in September. Okay, so I've got a mover there and a seconder. I'll put that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Natural Resources Management Unit report there, very helpful as usual.
I can put the motion.
Oh, thank you very much, Councillor Fish. Seconder?
Second.
Thanks, Councillor Fish.
I have a question in relation to a new seat and new table installed where did they buy that from? And I was just thinking, we've got the men's shed. Why can't we get the men's shed making this sort of stuff? And give them some money to make it. Keep the money in the area.
Well, it was bought from the mainland, and it would be recyclable goods, because that's what Maria and Helen tend to go for now. Whereabouts on the mainland, not quite sure, Bob, but if you need to find out, Maria's the person to talk to.
And you could probably suggest that to her and see what she has to say. Doesn't sound like a bad suggestion. Any other issues?
Move the report.
Thanks very much. Yes, it's been moved by Councillor Fish, seconded by Councillor Bisty, that the report be received. Information noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you, councillors. We now have the Animal Management Officer's report.
And I will move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconded?
I second.
Deputy? Thank you. Any discussion there? No? I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. That report received. Information noted. Very good. We go across now to... Aquatic Centre report. Do we have a mover that that be received? Thanks, Deputy. Seconded?
Seconded.
Councillor Bisty. Any matters that councillors want to question?
Can I just ask that the layout of this has changed slightly so we actually have the month that we're comparing against, so the July, the month of July budget is the first column versus the July, so July actuals versus July budget. And then the annual budget stuff you need to compare the annual data, because this is a bit jarring to try and compare. So it's saying we're 41 grand under budget, but I'm not sure how we perform against
July. No, you do that. Yep.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
I just wanted to make a comment about how there's 165 children enrolled to do Learn to Swim this term. These are the children that go through the day or after school.
Oh yeah, they're not school children, that's excellent.
Our advantage.
There's a couple from the city, I know, there's three from the city.
I have a comment which I'm glad to see Clarence City Council with youth group using the pool.
Yes, well.
That's starting to get a bit of a distance away.
Well, we're going to get a pool car, a travelling car with the...
On order?
All the pool.
On order.
That's great.
Be bad stuff.
That'll look good.
You want a photo of you and your speedo?
Yes, I
will. On the bike?
Yes,
it's like a big Tasmania police
logo.
Just
dive in. Just see it. Well,
we're trying to attract, not deep.
No.
We're saving the back.
No,
we're saving
not.
The back of you. You.
Right, Beth, let's move on.
Kempton had a swimming sports on Tuesday, and it was a very successful day. Look, it's a great facility.
Oh, fantastic.
We just got to
I've had some very glowing reports about it.
Yeah.
from people outside Southern Midlands.
Okay, well, I've got a mover that the information will be received and noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Thank you. Woodsdale Rec Ground.
Well, I am going to create this and circulate this advice that came through at 10 past 10 this morning. But I'll just capture it very quickly. That was my phone call just then. I'll be there for you. So, I think in the as part of the report, so I've listed all the original terms and of the transfer, and then provided an update in respect of each of those. At our workshop, we came to the conclusion that maybe we consider this option of a reversionary clause to try and move it forward, which was great in principle. Unfortunately, local government doesn't have that option of a reversionary clause that is limited to the state government. So, knowing the outcome that we want, sought advice from Abetz Curtis, just ignore the comment about the rabbits. Abby was up there supporting the rabbits. Put it up on the weekend. Cut a long story short, she has considered three options: a part-time agreement, a caveat on the title, or an instrument creating restricted covenant in gross. The recommendation, having just had a chat, is to proceed with both a part five and a caveat,
right,
which provides the protection that we desire and the outcome that we're looking for.
What's the caveat of all interest that we have?
So ownership would basically
revert to council.
Revert to council. So there's just one rider around this. So part five, if you want to read her commentary there, it's registered on the title and noted on the deed, but it's more of a document that sits in the background, where a caveat is clearly visible and a block for someone that may be considering purchase of the property. The only issue that she highlights, and we're experiencing that to some extent with some of these community halls, is that in order to enact these, there has to be an association. If the association falls over and can't manage its dealings, like there's failure to establish a management committee, we're still in a between a rock and a hard place. So it's a matter of really keeping our ear to the ground and maintaining if there's a whisper out there that the association may be is at risk of falling over, then we need to act at that time. How we overcome that, don't know. Is it a major risk? What's the worst outcome? The property sits in abeyance and...
Well, the worst outcome is we get it back.
Well, the worst outcome is we rate it for 3 years, sell it up for non-payment rates, and we still end up with it.
Yes.
But it means it can't be sold.
That's right.
By the association, and the ratepayer, the community, is the ultimate beneficiary of the funds. So, what she is recommending is that we go to the part five and the caveat, both, and ignore the instrument creating restricted covenant in gross, and then proceed to finalise a contract.
I just wonder whether or not we're overkilling it. What's wrong with having a contract on foot to the effect that... Because we don't want it back.
This was the discussion we had at the workshop. Do we actually want it back? But where we started was having their constitution that says when the association's wound up, the property is sold, and the net proceeds are returned to council.
No. Like projects within the area.
Well, that's what their current constitution says.
Yeah.
So if we're happy with that, let's let's just walk away and leave it at that.
It's the volunteer organisation that went out and decided to hall and then making an exit to the football club. And that way, if the football
club... Now, the hall is ours.
It's the hall out.
I just think that we're going too hard to protect the asset and ensure we get it back when we want to divest the asset and give it to the community, which ultimately will happen if the footy club goes belly up.
Their dissolution clause is there in italics.
Yes.
So if we're comfortable with the wording of that, we can just proceed with the sale, contract of sale for a dollar and be done with it.
What's that say again?
In the event of the dissolution of the committee, all funds and assets shall be sold with the funds donated to local, not-for-profit organisations at the discretion of the committee. All the prior discussion has been based around council having that discretion. With the intent, I think our intent was to reinvest it in the Woodsdale Hall, but if we're not fussed, let's just proceed with the contract of sale and be done with it.
I'm not fussed. I don't want the rest of the sale.
I reckon that's the best way to go, because I've had words with Tony and she wants it done as quick as possible so they can get on with it. But she also noted that where we say football club and we sort of focus on that, it should be a broad just football, general recreational use plus special events.
No, our agreement on the transfer will be with the Woodsdale.
So you've got that other association.
No, the football club will effectively be a user group.
Yep.
And will be responsible to, I'm just trying to find the name.
Woodsdale Recreation and Community Hub Incorporated.
Yeah. So that dissolution clause is within that association's constitution.
Right.
That would be for general recreation.
Well, if the footy club goes belly out, that organisation may still be in operation and may still have events and may still want to use the oval.
But the way I'm looking at it, the way...
We don't want to stipulate what they use it for.
No.
We don't effectively don't care.
They do, no.
Providing legal activities and comply with the planning scheme.
The understanding that seems to be there that if they don't play football, then we come and grab it back.
No.
It says specifically that if they cease to fold, and I think we did the initial dealings with the football club, which we recognised, but are now the Woodsdale Recreation and Community Club.
Yep.
We recognised that previously. So it's not the football, it's the group folks, not the football folks.
That's why we're motivated to actually get rid of it to that organisation rather than the football club.
It was the committee though, shouldn't that be at the discretion of the council?
Well, no, because it's their own, so they can have that discretion.
But I also note that there are quite a lot of keen businesses around who would like to be sponsors, but are not prepared to be sponsors until it's handed over.
That's fine. So if we're happy with that dissolution clause, we can just proceed to enter into a contract with sale.
I think that's the move around the table.
I think so.
Does anybody have any issue with it? No? Well, so the recommendation would be...
I'll frame it along those lines.
We're satisfied along... That
what happened
we don't need any title or other restraints and the like of
what happens if this organisation folds and then, you know, Tony Mark II decides she wants to have the crusade to resurrect it again? How do we they have to then buy it as part of the crusade?
No, so as it having transferred ownership to this separate legal entity, they're in control of their own means, I suppose. So if in any incorporated association, they have their annual general meeting. Mm. So let's go back a step. They have a member base who then conduct their annual general meeting and elect their management committee for the next 12 months. So if the persons that are currently interested in managing the property tire or have had enough, then they don't stand for re-election at the next annual general meeting, and hopefully there is sufficient number of members that are able to step up and fill those roles. So until the association's wound up, that's the annual process that they'll comply with. And then if they get to the point where they can't establish a new management committee, then they have to go through the winding up process. And that dissolution clause provides for how their assets will be distributed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot simpler if we're happy with that. It's,
yeah. I think so. You know, looking into the future with a crystal ball, you could possibly envisage a situation where council, you know, might have to take it over a la Baghdad. But, you know, that's probably for our children to worry about, hopefully.
Well, it's certainly not consistent with our direction in terms of the community infrastructure plan.
No.
No.
All right, well, so basically the information is to be received and noted, and the recommendation is that upon the receipt of legal advice, the word is better, but we're satisfied that the winding up clause of the community hub organisation at Woodsdale is satisfactory for ensuring that any proceeds from the sale of the ground go to a local organisation at Woodsdale.
I think the third dot point is to we actually proceed to enter into a contract of real estate.
So we enter into a sale. So with those three dot points added in, or two dot points added in, however you want to look at it, we know what we're voting on, I assume. Anybody got any issues there? Any lack of clarity? I haven't been all that clear, I must admit, but basically we're going for the simplest option.
Yep.
And we're going to do a sale of the property. Very good. Well, Councillor Bridget, do you want to move that?
No, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Second.
A second, Councillor Campbell. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. The next one is the Southern Midlands Municipal Energy Management Plan, which was finally worked through by the Management Committee. Do I have a mover in respect of that? Thank you, Councillor.
Second.
They have to be submitted for approval to the State Emergency Service. And I'll sign it off. Any issues that councillors want to raise?
My only comment that you raised at the meeting, there's a map of the municipal area in the front of the plan that shows all the major transport routes. We're trying to put the route of the gas pipeline in the map. It's probably finally submitted, but I think we relied on Graham Green's expertise. Other than that, we'll draw it up by hand.
On this map, to the corridor, on this map.
It is the major area of disaster if it blew up. I'm assuming it's handy to know where it goes. All right. Well, with that addition to the mapping, I have a mover and a second. I'll put that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Campania District School, traffic issues. Andrew Benson, Deputy General Manager. Did you want to run with this?
The campaign of school one, I'll move that with emphasis on B.
Sorry, we have a mover already, do we? Yes, Councillor Campbell. Do we have a second?
Strong emphasis on B, the whole lot.
Thank you. You said seconding it, Councillor Fish, or are you scratching your head?
Scratching your head.
Do I have a second?
I could second it.
You will second it. Very good. Okay. Issues there. Yes, strong emphasis on B. And did you want to speak to it, Adrian?
Oh, just a quick overview, Mr. Mayor, following a response or a letter from the association at Campania District High School. We contacted Department of State Growth, there was a meeting on site with Manager of Infrastructure and Works and DSG officers. They said that they could not approve any other crossings, which was one of the suggestions that the school association had. They also wanted to extend the 40 speed limit further than where it is at the moment from the recreation ground further along Reef Street. DSG said they were not able to support that, bearing in mind that Reef Street is not our street, as councillors would know. Department of State Growth is the road authority there, and any changes to speed limits or zoning things would require the approval of the Transport Commissioner. So the end result was that Department of State Growth said they would prepare to support a 50 limit rather than a 60 limit from the southern town boundary to Climby Street, and part of that is where that 40 limit is, but they were prepared to support that. They could not support a reduced speed limit from 60 to 50 from Climby Street to the Woodland boundary. This report goes through that detail, but in consideration, the items are put in A and B, or it says councillors to seek the Transport Commission's approval. A, the Department of State Growth officers said they can support that, but they can't support B. So it's pushing to have them reconsider B, and the main area there is the congestion that's around the post office, given that there's no postal service there and a growing population, more of people using the post office and the general store there. So council officers figured that it's worthwhile to look at reducing that from 60 down to 50. That's the basis of the report.
Andrew, the side streets that come out on B31, Reef Street, do they have two-way signs on them or not?
Oh, they should have.
I don't remember seeing them.
Oh, I'll check that.
Just a curiosity. I know that they love shooting down those side streets without looking.
Thank you. We'll check that. But I commend the recommendation of councillors.
But the way the area is growing, it would make sense to do it now, not later, to go right through. So, section B.
Can I just add a bit of a sense in relation to feedback? Obviously, there are 2 years, and I was fully prepared to not have a consistent 50k through the township. Is can become a little bit confusing. So if you've got 60 up one end, then 40, then 50, is effectively what State Growth agreed to. I don't think that's appropriate. I mean, you go to any other small rural townships throughout Tasmania, it's consistent, they're 50. So my discussion with the officers on the site from Bertie was exactly that. And I don't know, the guys met there, he was just sort of, oh yeah, but you know, once they get to the other side of up the northern end of the town, people were on a mission that is part of the, obviously the state road network, and they're heading out. Anyway, my opinion is that that's less sort of consistent. If we're going to go for a 3 million reduction, that's still a good
average speed is probably 80 through there anyway. So regardless of what the
Well, I know that a certain police officer that I talk to quite regularly is on my own, and he sits down there in a certain position at the campaign, like over Brighton and Red Garden, and he just consistently came up
here.
He said, I come over here, mate, and he said, just watch the weather.
And the football stadium is
improved. All right, well, we are supporting the reduction. And we have a mover and a second and a motion of that at both ends of the town. And we accept what you say, Dave, the motion to all of that. So I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
A review and amendment of the mobile food vendors policy, which I think is stacked.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Christie. I think you moved it last time. I think the second is by Councillor Blackwell. Are you wishing to continue seconding it, Councillor Blackwell? Are you considering seconding it again?
Yes.
You moved it last time. Councillor Christie, second Councillor Blackwell. Now the recommendation is to consider the revised version of, or it's accepted, or
there's only one change, I think.
Yeah, was the given the change before in
version 3
was the removal of the position opposite the tavern in the car park in Campania, and then that left the one. There was discussion around Clow Mill Park and a cafe might be appropriate in that spot. This was moved to look at providing some great service in that spot.
It's just the wording of the of Order 2 of in the recommendation. It should be considered the revised version for adoption.
Adopt the final version.
Adopt. We should put to them.
Silver. Yep.
Yep. So we're adopting the revised version of food vendors policy. Full stop. With that change, and you've been following that, haven't you, Councillor Blackwell? That's what we're doing. Yep. Very good. I have a mover and a second. Is that effect? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Aye. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
And then the IT policy, similarly. Do I have a mover for that?
I'll move.
Deputy, and seconded.
Second.
This is Captain Christie. This is the cash management policy.
Don't worry about it.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Any elected members' statements?
I have.
I'm looking at a few here. Yep.
Well, I've got 2 months to make up. I was going to let you all know about the bargain centre community payout from 2025, which you probably all saw in the Southern England regional news anyhow, but it was our best year again. $35,014 we shared amongst 18 groups. I've got a copy to give to Gemma to put into our minutes. So 18 volunteers, and each we volunteered 2,705 hours, and each hour is worth $12.94. And multi-purpose auxiliary received $11,464.84, and a lot of other societies there. Several of our volunteers are working for the cats' homes, the dogs' homes, and those sort of groups now. So, the other thing I wanted just to report on was the ODFA grand final on Saturday. I had the honour in the Mayor's absence, of presenting Darren Westcott with his best and fairest medallion. He plays for Campania, and the association played 15 games throughout the year. Darren played 8 and won the medal. Unfortunately, Campania didn't quite get there on Saturday against the Rabbits. Bothwell, as I said, there were 1,600 people went through the gate. It was a fantastic day. The rain stopped a few hours before the game, well, before we got there to do the gate.
Kids going good?
Kids, well, I didn't see it, because where you stand on the gate, not too short. You remember the general manager made that comment before?
Yeah,
I couldn't see anything.
Yeah,
I didn't.
But the kids did play.
The kids did play.
Yeah, that's good.
There were probably more Central Hawks than Tribunna kids, but Tribunna did come over and they had a great time.
Good.
So. Very good. Well done.
That's it.
All right. Did you want to say anything about the festival, the Blue Festival? I guess all pretty much on record. But
well,
tremendous.
It was a tremendous day. I'm sure Andrew's going to probably give us a report at some stage.
Yes, work in progress.
Work in progress,
okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. How about the elected member statements? Very good. Thank you very much for that, Deputy. Nomination to Destination Saboteurs Mania. Council consider nominating a representative to the Destination Saboteurs Mania Board of Directors.
Don't have to, just be information.
So everybody begin considering that, and see whether or not you'd like to be one. Are you moving that, Deputy?
Yes, I'll move that one.
Seconder? Councillor Blackwell? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Yeah, you've got some information there which has been sent to me, and those with a bit of a tourist bent in there. Well, good. Okay, so the finance officer's report, monthly financial statements.
I thought you said Dave was under it, he's not.
Well, he is on one version of it. It's interesting, the overall operating expenditure at the end of July represents 83.9% of the year-to-date budget. Can that be wrong?
Yeah.
Are there any questions, any issues? No?
No.
I put the motion over the phone.
Oh, no.
The ayes have it. Thank you. The hook. We have to complete the financial statements.
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Houston. I'll second. Thank you, Deputy. So, we're receiving those reports.
So, those as to the end of year, which are obviously submitted within the statutory time frame. Just there, pending audit that I believe won't be till October, probably. But that requires that the statements be tabled at the meeting following completion. Hence, they're tabled. Probably the only comment, by the time we do it all, the end result was an underlying surplus of $89,000 for the year.
Well, congratulations, General Manager.
Well done.
All round.
Good Christmas party this year.
Yeah. That's, yeah, as you know, despite going in with a $400,000 deficit.
Yes.
But the underlying surface is, you know, removes your capital grants and all your one-offs and revaluations. And the movement, and the big ticket item is this movement in the VAGS grant. Yeah. They keep changing the percentage they give us in advance. And anyway, good outcome.
Okay.
Very good.
I've got a mover and a second. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it.
A very good thing to have out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
VAGS grant issues there.
This is just an information item, Mr. Mayor, again with the prior year adjustments, but at the end of the day we will receive about $70,000
for day to spend.
Over and above our
budget. Come off the budget.
Over and
come
above our budget deficit. So it won't be allocated for any purpose, other than it will reduce our budget deficit from that 416 by about 70 grand.
So we're getting 5% now rather than what we thought, 4% basically, is that?
Yeah, so when you think about what CPI was running at 2.4, I think through our budget we forecast 4, primarily on the basis that there is a trend within the FAGS grant distribution towards rural
and regional.
But what we've actually been given is a 4.5% increase, so...
happy days.
We could say it's the quality of our annual
subscription to
the state grants.
I think we have to say that.
We'll have to say that.
Got a mover?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Beattie.
Second. With pleasure.
I can second.
Thanks, Councillor Beattie. So, any further commentary or issues?
I was hesitant about supporting this now and then.
He's got his ears. Sorry, Steve.
Okay, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Municipal seal is new. Now, we've got a supplementary item for the agenda, haven't we? We did. Yes. So that's been circulated. Has anybody got a copy of the supplementary item?
Yeah.
Did you wish to speak to it?
Anybody? Mr. Mayor, councillors, we will call that at water. Did a session, of course, at the last workshop. Identifying the summary of activities of the EV charging stations since its commencement of operation, and also talked about the transfer of the legal obligation from Electric Pilots Tasmania Pty Limited to NRMA Electric. This document, the package you've got in front of you, a very brief report, but also I've attached the agreements that we signed off at the commencement of the operation, and all of the obligations within that legal agreement between Electric Highways Tasmania and the Council was taken over by Electric. So that's just for information. The Council were happy with it in the first place. And that last document is the deed of novation, which we need to sign and seal as part of this.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I'll second.
We do pretty well out of it.
Yeah, going up too. It's just keeping that. All right, thanks very much. That is clear, and we understand why the municipal seal has been attached. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Now, we've got to just put a time on this machine, do we? What are we doing?
So, before we do, just not
203.
Yeah, okay. Let's pass this motion first.
And then we do the time. Okay.
Well, the next two motions, and then we'll turn it off and turn it back on again.
All right. So, in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation, the following items will be dealt with in closed session. Confirmation of closed council minutes and applications for leave of absence and a land purchase issue. Councillor Lever, that's that the jump?
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell, seconded.
I'll second.
The deputy, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. And we now have to decide whether we move into closed session. There's a motion to that effect. Do I have a move? Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
Second.
Seconded, Councillor Blackwell, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. Right, we now move into closed session, and is that we move out of closed session at 2:08:49. Thank you. Who will move that from?
I'll move.
Thank you, Deputy, and second, Councillor
Cameron.
Those in favour?
Aye.
And against, the ayes have it. Thank you. Which brings us to the closure now of council meeting in open council at 2:08:34.
12:35
p.m. Yes.
Yeah, 12:30, what's the time, was it? 12:35 p.m. And that's the time that I've actually spent, isn't it? 2:08.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's a mark?
Been
going
for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus more than
that. It didn't mark, did it?